Welcome to Ed Leader with your host, Dr. Rob Jackson. Join Dr. Jackson for conversations and reflections on improving educational leadership from the classroom to the boardroom and beyond. Educational leadership is an ever-evolving opportunity to make a real and lasting difference in the lives of students, parents, and the community. And now, here's your host, Dr. Rob Jackson.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Ed Leader Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Jackson, and I want to thank you for spending time with me today. I'm so excited to witness the growth of our Ed Leader community. The podcast has hit 22,000 listens, and the website, drrobjackson.com, now has over 102,000 views. Thank you for helping us grow the Ed Leader community. Nothing is monetized. There are no ads, no sponsors, simply an authentic desire to add value to the professional and personal lives of all those around me, as so many have added so much to my own life. I do hope that the Ed Leader podcast is helping you along your personal and professional journeys. If you have not, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast on your favorite podcast player and share it with your network of colleagues and friends. Thank you again for your kind gift of your comments and positive ratings and reviews. Remember, you can find show notes, links to references that are cited during each episode, and find each of the Ed Leader podcast episodes at drrobjackson.com. I might just be a closet bibliophile, someone who has a great love of books. I really enjoy going back to the touchstone texts or the timeless tomes, to those books that shaped me early in my career and life, and bringing them forward, spending time again with the words, thoughts, and reflections that moved me then and move me still. Today's episode is just that, a return to a treasured book. The book, Tuesdays with Maury, became a runaway bestseller 26 years ago. It was made into a movie and a Broadway play and is said to have changed millions of lives. You see, a successful young man made a series of trips to visit his college professor almost 20 years after graduating. The professor, Maury Schwartz, was in the final weeks of his life as he was gradually overtaken by ALS, more commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. The book recounts the 14 Tuesday visits the young man, Mitch Albom, made, their conversations, Maury's lectures, and his life experiences. In his final days, the professor taught his student and all of us how to die and consequently how to live. He said, "The most important thing in life is to learn how to give out love and to let it come in. Let it come in." For this episode, I'm beyond honored and excited to welcome another young man and his mentor. They read and shared this book and then shared it with me. In my hands, it felt familiar. It felt timeless. Regardless of what day of the week it is, as you listen to this, pretend it's Tuesday. Let's join Maury and Mitch and my two guests. Let's be together Tuesday people. Let's imagine opening the worn pages of this beloved book, and in Maury's words, let it come in. I am absolutely excited to have this conversation on the Ed Leader podcast. I've been waiting for this for some time, as we have the opportunity to turn again to a timeless text, the opportunity to think of a touchstone tome, as it were. That may be a little corny, but there are books that we've read in the past that continue to be timeless, and the book we're going to discuss today is just that. With me are two guests, both very, very special gentlemen who I just absolutely love. The first is no stranger to the listeners of the Ed Leader podcast. He was actually the first guest on the podcast on the episode that was actually released as episode number 3 on the playlist. He is my son, Elijah Jackson. You may recognize him because he voices the introduction on every episode of Ed Leader. Elijah, welcome.
And now here's your guest, Elijah Jackson. Thanks for having me back, Dad. How are you doing?
Absolutely. Absolutely wonderful. Anytime I get to spend time with you, your brothers, your sister, it's always a great time for me. And speaking of a great time, I'm just beyond excited and honored to spend some time with our second guest, a gentleman who means so much to my son, Elijah, and certainly so much to me as well. His name is Graham Davis. Please help me welcome Mr. Graham Davis to the Ed Leader podcast. Welcome, Graham.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Man, I am just absolutely honored to have this conversation with you for so many reasons, many of which we'll get into as we continue through our conversation. But let's kind of start with having you, Graham, introduce yourself to the listeners of the Ed Leader podcast. Tell us about yourself.
Sure. I am married. I have two boys. I currently reside in Nashville, Tennessee. I am a logistics operations manager by trade. I move paint from place to place, but by nature, I am much more of a creative. I think that's where Elijah and I have been bonding a lot here recently. It's going to lead to some of our conversations, but I actually have a background in creative writing, teaching English as a foreign language. I enjoy reading. I enjoy writing, all those sorts of things. So that's kind of hopefully what we get into here today.
Absolutely. Well, you sound like a Renaissance man. I mean, when we talk about logistics and then being a creative, that kind of feels like a bit of a yin and yang thing.
Yeah, you kind of stumble into it when you learn how to write flowery emails. but it's gotten me this far, so I'm really grateful for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you kind of hit on the nature of the relationship that you have with Elijah, and it's part of the reason that I'm just so honored to have this conversation with you. Elijah, how about sharing with us how you met Graham and kind of who he is in your life, both as you initially met him and today?
Of course. It's funny thinking back. I met Graham when I was a weird, emotional 15-year-old in high school. He was one of our Young Life leaders as kind of a high school ministry and, you know, developed as a mentor through the years. And just thinking back kind of now, it's really cool to think about the different phases of my life that Graham has been a part of. I mean, obviously now, 10 years later, a decade of knowing each other, you know, I'm married and living adult life, and Graham's been a part of that the whole way. And, you know, I'd say one of the things that keeps us connected is obviously fantasy football. And, you know, recently, as I've gotten more into reading, and I knew that he was this Renaissance man, you know, reaching out to him for either recommendations or kind of swapping books that I had read and he had read, just to share material, has given us some definitely interesting conversations. But yeah, a decade of Graham and Eli, definitely a mentorship role. And, you know, he is a few years older than me. Obviously he's got, you know, the wife and kids, and I'm just kind of entering that phase of my life. But it's definitely been a super valuable relationship and something I cherish a lot.
Absolutely. Well, and that's part of why I'm so honored to have this conversation as a dad, when others come into your children's lives and make a difference for all the right reasons. It's something that you just feel like you can never pay back. And so I'm just so grateful to Graham and the other leaders of the Young Life Ministry, who really have played such an important part in your life and in your siblings' lives as well. And so, Graham, for our listeners, I'd really like to hear from you kind of what led you into deciding that part of your life, particularly when you were 10 years younger, you decided you wanted to spend time as a mentor to teenagers. I mean, I can't imagine opening the door of my house and saying, hey, bunch of teenagers, come hang out and play video games in my house and all the things. But that's what you were doing. What kind of led you to make that decision, and why was that important for you to do?
Oh, man. I reflect so differently on that time, even now, than I did then. If I'd known 10 years ago that I would have relationships that I have now because of that time. I mean, I would have gone in even harder and maybe have done some things differently, but I'm just so grateful. And a lot of it is just due to this pack of guys that Eli and JJ grew up with and allowed us to, you know, give them a space to just come and hang out. And that's really what it kind of came down to. It wasn't so much that myself or my roommate at the time, Jimmy Sappenfield, it's not like we were anything special or exceptional. We happened to be geographically desirable. We were right across the street from this school and also just offered a safe place for these kids to hang out. And I think when it comes down to where a lot of my relationships have started that I feel really, really good about, it comes down to just that, just safety and trust and just some core things that we as young men really need to set a foundation. So it's not like I had any of that awareness at the time, but I certainly think that was instrumental in the growth. So yeah, I'm grateful for Young Life giving us the tools and some of the trainings to kind of go into these schools and, you know, just kind of, as we always called it, the aroma of Christ on us, and just walking around and just really being interested in these kids' lives that really didn't, you know, had a lot of their own stuff going on as I did myself. So I don't know. I'd say that's probably the gist of it, is we just wanted to be a safe place for these kids to hang out, and we're really grateful of the relationships that blossomed from that.
And I'm grateful for it, you know, as the parent who has watched the benefit of you and Jimmy, your roommate, who's just a fabulous person as well, being present, being open, being inviting, being there for conversations that these young men may not have wanted to have with their parents at the time, but they felt comfortable and safe having those conversations with you guys. And consequently, you've had the opportunity to be there as they graduated from college. You've been there as they got married. Not all of them are married yet. That may or may not be in the cards for some of them, but you've been there through some pretty major life milestones. And so, again, from my role as dad, I just want to say thank you. And I've tried to say that many times, and hopefully my actions show that just deep appreciation. And I'm sure now as a parent yourself, that as your children get older, you'll certainly appreciate having wonderful role models in your children's lives. And so you have been that for Elijah, continue to be that. And I just want to say thank you for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been an honor the whole time.
Well, it's really, and part of the excitement for me about this conversation is that as we turn our attention to this book that's kind of the center of our conversation, it really draws great parallels to what we read in the book. The book is Tuesdays with Maury, written by Mitch Albom. And essentially in the book, a professor and his student begin to have conversations while the student is in college. And then later, an adult returns to his professor, who at this time is now dying from ALS, Lou Gehrig disease, and a series of Tuesdays and life lessons are shared. And we'll get more into the book. But I really appreciated that parallel between what I've seen between Elijah and you, Graham, and others in terms of someone in a teacher role, whether or not that person is officially a teacher or not, but someone in a teacher or mentor role, and a young person being able to learn from great conversations. And it really appears that that's what's happened for Elijah and his peer group, and for my son JJ as well. And so I'd just like to hear, well, let me kind of move a little further into the story the two of you share. And that is, I'm holding this book, Tuesdays with Maury, that's been well read. And I'm holding this book because my son Elijah handed it to me at a recent family holiday and said, "Hey, Graham gave me this book. It's amazing. You need to read it." I certainly was aware of the book and was excited to read it. But my goodness, hearing my son say, "Hey, this guy gave me a book to read," I was pretty impressed in the fact that Elijah read it and loved it so much that he said, "Dad, you need to read this too." Continues to impress me, particularly as an educator. And so, Elijah, kind of share with me this book relationship that you and Graham have.
Definitely. I will admit, you know, reading hasn't always been a part of my everyday recreational life.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts. That hurts.
You know, I just read so much in school, Dad. So, I think, you know, probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, I really got back into reading and even revisited some of the books that I kind of read in high school, and just really appreciating them as someone that, you know, isn't reading them for an assignment and can read them just for the text and the symbols and the messages and things like that. And, you know, I'd say it probably was about a year and a half, 2 years ago that, again, I know Graham's a Renaissance and a reading man. And I had reached out to him about a book that I had read, and, you know, that got us going a little bit. I think I sent him the first book of our book exchange. And just kind of, you know, that's a piece of what we would talk about. It's just things that we're reading and things that interest us. And, you know, we had the idea this year for our fantasy football draft, which is one of the only times during the year that we all get to see each other, of bringing each other a couple of books that we had read and enjoyed and just doing a book swap. You know, I trust his judgment on books, and I hope he's enjoyed some of the ones that I've given him. But that's how, you know, I came to have Tuesdays with Maury and read it in pretty much one sitting on a flight and thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. And I knew you would too. So
phenomenal, phenomenal. Graham, as you were thinking about books that you might want to bring to Elijah at the fantasy football draft, which, by the way, was a ton of fun, whole other conversation there, fantasy football with the group that we engage in and how we each approach that differently, whole other conversation. But Graham, as you were kind of thinking about books you wanted to share with Elijah, what brought Tuesdays with Maury to the top of the stack for you?
I think that we wanted to start off, of course, with a lot of our favorite books. One of the book that Elijah's referencing, I believe Musa Okonkwo is the author. It's a book of poems by a African man from the UK who's living in Germany, which is a very niche kind of literary text. And oh man, it just gets you into this world. It just makes you think with every paragraph, and it was just really, really amazing. It really like kind of laid the groundwork of, okay, this is the relationship with Elijah that we're going to be in regard to sharing these books. So when I wanted to go back to my library and my favorite books, I pulled up this, you know, really worn, weathered book of Tuesdays with Maury, one that I've had since high school and I've read several times over. And each time I read it, every few years, when a new life event happens, when I've graduated high school or, you know, gotten married or I've had children, it just means something a little bit different. And I hope that, you know, that copy or whatever copies of Tuesdays with Maury are out there, will continue to be read in the same sort of sense, where it's just always passed along, always shared with someone, and read at different, times. Because I think that there's always some kind of different truth to be gleaned with each sitting.
I absolutely agree. And I think I have your copy of the book you had in high school. So kudos to you for keeping that text. All the high school English teachers who are listening are cheering as they listen to the podcast, for sure. So one of the things that they touch on, Mitch and Maury, the student and the professor, as they're having these series of conversations over, I believe, 14 Tuesdays, is they talk about being Tuesday people. We're Tuesday people. And so just at a high level, as a way to kind of give us a feel for the book, what were they talking about in terms of being Tuesday people, and just how did the book kind of lay out?
So being Tuesday people, I think the way that this book is laid out is essentially after, you know, a few years after Mitch graduates college, you know, there is some disconnect between him and the professor. They reconnect years later. And, you know, obviously Maury has ALS and he's battling this super debilitating disease. And they just make it a habit of, hey, we're going to meet every Tuesday and just kind of talk about life, which I think is beautiful. And Maury has a series of lessons just through his experience in life. And really, the books, I guess, chapters are just broken up into, you know, essentially this Tuesday we talked about life and this Tuesday we talked about death. And it just kind of the framework of their conversations and, you know, the fact that every Tuesday they're meeting for, you know, their final thesis, as they call it.
Absolutely. And, you know, and they talked about even when he was in college that they used to get together on Tuesdays. And I guess it kind of continues to draw that parallel with you and Graham, that you had these conversations when you were in high school and heading to his house to play video games or whatever. And now you're talking about these incredible poems from this very niche area that Graham was describing, which is pretty cool. Graham, so as you think about these Tuesday people, these conversations that they were having on Tuesdays, like at a high level, what was kind of your takeaway? Why do you keep grabbing this book off the shelf? Why do you share it with others? What is it that kind of keeps it near and dear to your heart?
Well, I think that a lot of us can identify as a Mitch album. You know, we are in this pursuit of life where, you know, we got to get to that next horizon, or we got to make this deadline, or we got to create or build or grow and continue to kind of act on the pressures that are put on us by society. And there's not a lot of Maury's out there, but this relationship that we're able to observe that Mitch has cataloged and written so well about offers a lot of insights into, let's slow it down a little bit. Let's just take it day by day. Let's not necessarily lean into what the pop culture is demanding of us and, you know, kind of carve your own path. And I think that, you know, some of the central ideas that I always go back to is, you know, what is the root of all of this? And a lot of it is just love. I mean, there's love. There's a lot of talk about death and dying and fear and friendship. And when you really boil down, you know, what life is all about, those are the conversations that I want to be having myself. And I think it's just really, really interesting to kind of have a reset on all these topics every now and then.
Absolutely. And I appreciated the way you kind of mentioned that, particularly as life events happen in your life, revisiting the text because it hits at a different level or hits in a different way, because I certainly see that. Elijah, speaking of love, as Graham was kind of referencing that, I recall in the book, in fact, I'll read it, Mitch Allen, the author, shares from Maury, that Maury shared with him, so many people walk around with a meaningless life. This is because they're chasing the wrong things. The way you get meaning into your life is to devote yourself to loving others, devote yourself to the community around you, and devote yourself to something that gives you purpose and meaning. How does that wash over you? What is that kind of, what's your reaction to that quote in terms of the way to get meaning into your life is to devote yourself to loving others and your community and things that give you purpose and meaning?
Definitely. I think the thing that struck me in reading this book is, you know, working in the field of business, whether it's logistics or HR or marketing, which, you know, I found myself in after college. I think kind of what Graham's saying, just the reminder of, you know, what's important. And it's so easy to just kind of get involved in this rat race that I think Mitch alludes to when he describes his time as a journalist and, you know, chasing around Andre Agassi and his girlfriend at Wimbledon. And, you know, I think what struck me so hard about this book was just taking a moment to sit back and think about what's really important. And, you know, at the end of your life, looking back like Maury is and saying, you know, these are the people that I've impacted. It doesn't matter what job I have or what car I drive. I like to go and dance on Tuesdays, or, you know, I think this book's just such a reminder of, you know, kind of keeping our priorities in check and staying on a course that exudes love and not necessarily, you know, following a culture of materialism and, like I said, a rat race of any kind.
Absolutely. Graham, as I kind of continue to reflect on what you and Elijah are sharing in terms of love in the book, Maury said the most important thing in life is to learn how to give out love and to let it come in, let it come in. That we think we don't deserve love. We think if we let it in, we become too soft. But he says that this man, Levine, said it right. He said, love is the only rational act. What does it mean to you to give out love and to let it come in, particularly as a father of young children?
That's my favorite quote in the book. I think it's probably the most often referenced as well. I don't know. You can just munch on that for a while. Love is the only rational act. So my kids are fairly young still. I have a 5-year-old and a 2.5-year-old. There's all kinds of pressures and anxiety that come with every age. And of course, we're coming up on Christmas time and, you know, the economy is really hard and finances are tight and you want to make sure that you are making enough to, you know, get your kids all the best things. And when I'm putting my kids to bed, we have about 5 to 10 minutes of playtime and my kids can name whatever activity they want to get to. And the other night we're playing Legos. That was the activity my kids chose. And this thought came into my head. It was, this is the juice you're squeezing for.
Yes.
And yeah, it just kind of like, you know, brought some tears to my eyes. Let's just simplify it. It's not about, you know, having the next best toy or the next best thing. It's all about, you know, what's in front of you. Let's start with love and just start with being with people and sharing your time and sharing your attention and see what stems from that. So I think ultimately that's what Maury was trying to get Mitch to see is, you know, if you start with just by loving people and being present and really focusing your attention on what's important, things will naturally stem from that. Only growth can come from that. So that's been my takeaway recently at this current stage of life.
And that's so very powerful. And thank you for sharing that moment with your children. You know, we don't think that playing Legos becomes a moment, but clearly it becomes a moment. And that's the good stuff. That's the juice we're squeezing for. And I love the way you describe that. You know, Elijah, as I think about it, in our culture, it seems like, certainly in my generation and Graham's generation, I believe still in your generation, maybe we're getting better at it, maybe not, but it seems like we tend to teach young men, boys, et cetera, that emotions are somehow not to be shared, that we should keep it in, rub some dirt on it, keep playing. As a young man, you were an athlete, you were a man's man. Perhaps we're wearing a bit of a facade, as we all do. That's just natural. But Maury's approach was just the opposite. He said, turn on the faucet, wash yourself with emotion. It won't hurt you. It will only help. And, you know, as you think about kind of the messages that you may have received or seen others receive, which is particularly for young men, you're not supposed to show a whole lot of emotions. But here's Maury saying, no, 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 it's the opposite. Turn on the faucet. Like, what does that say to you? Or am I just off in left field? That's not kind of the message that is typically heard. I mean, talk to me about this turn on the faucet.
No, and I think it's spot on. And, you know, my first thought is Maury was definitely ahead of his time as far as being in touch with his emotions as a man in America. You know, obviously where I grow up, that's definitely the sentiment of, hey, be a big, tough athlete and rub some dirt on it, like you're saying. I was obviously lucky enough to have met Graham and his roommate Jimmy when I did, who I think were both also kind of forward thinking folks like Maury was. And you know, as we kind of said earlier, just provided that safe space to be emotional and feel safe. But, you know, I'm reminded of it's Jimmy V week here and thinking about Jimmy V saying, like, you know, if you cry once a day, it's a good day. And I think it's something that I could still work on, and I think a lot of people could still work on, but just accepting that being emotional is all right and life is hard and there's no shying away from that and there's no being manly enough for it or anything like that. And, you know, at some point it's going to come out. So, you know, kind of like he's saying, let it wash over you. And I think, you know, in those times where you do allow yourself to be emotional and in touch with what's happening around you, I think that's when I feel the most human and feel the most connected to the people around me, like Graham and Jimmy when we were growing up, or like folks nowadays. But I think the biggest thing for me is just Maury was way ahead of his time as far as just being connected to and cognizant of how you feel emotionally and recognizing that it's okay to share that and that doesn't make you any weaker or anything, you know.
Absolutely. It makes you more authentic. There's no question. And I love, Elijah, what you said, and I truly appreciate that reference you made to Jimmy V. For those who may not know, Jimmy V was the head basketball coach at North Carolina State University, very successful, won a national championship, was diagnosed with cancer, and famously gave a speech close to the time he was dying, don't give up, don't ever give up. And it's interesting that as he's given that speech, he shares what Elijah referenced about if you're crying every day, if you're laughing every day, that's a good day. If you're thinking every day, that's a good day. And just like Maury in the book, who's also dying of ALS in his case, he's teaching us life lessons. And it's a shame when it takes death to kind of teach us these really important lessons. And so I want to kind of take that and come back to Graham. Graham, as you were sharing earlier, you shared something that really hit me because it's another one of those things we tend to, as a culture, teach each other. Just like I asked Elijah about this cultural teaching for young men of not showing your emotions, we teach each other that more is good. And you kind of mentioned, you know, as a father of young children, you want to work hard to provide the things for your children that they may want or need and all the things. And so in the book, Maury is talking to Mitch and he said that he gave a reference of birds on your shoulder who are teaching you lessons or whatever. And he's whispering because at the time he's getting closer to dying. He says, Mitch, can I tell you something? You might not like it. Well, the truth is, if you really listen to that bird on your shoulder, if you accept that you can die at any time, then you might not be as ambitious as you are. The things you spend so much time on, all this work you do, might not seem as important. You might have to make room for some other things. And so as you talk about the Lego moment, while balancing that with this cultural demand and the feeling that you may have as a father to provide for your family, like how do you find that balance there between the want to provide and want to spend those magical moments with your children?
Another really good question. Another, you know, quote that has been kind of mentioned to me is that the only folks who really know how hard and long you worked when you're old and you know, on your way out will be your family.
Yes.
And that has really helped me put a lot of perspective back into my life. A lot of it also just comes with age. You know, I'm not in my 20s anymore. You know, I'm not moving as quickly anymore. And I'm able to kind of slow down and just really, really, kind of soak in moments more and more. But it's active. There are a lot of things to distract us. A lot of stresses that we want to get away from, and technology is getting smarter and smarter on how it can, feed those anxieties. So, finding healthy ways to cope, investing in yourself. A lot of times, cultural demand is also that men not only provide, but they serve themselves last. So find ways to improve yourself, find some things that you enjoy that are not economically advancing you, so to speak, but are nurturing, some of those finer elements. I think that's really important. Finding ways to balance yourself as you get a little bit older and you can't necessarily run up and down the basketball court anymore, or something else. Yeah, that'd be what I would say.
Absolutely. Elijah, what do you think, buddy? You and I have had conversations as you've had to navigate the start of a work life post-college about wanting to really think about work-life balance. And certainly you have goals in your life around buying a house and providing for your wife and all those things at the same time. Unlike me at your age, you seem to have an understanding that life is more than the work we do, and you've got to have time for your wife and you've got to have time for you. Like, how does this wash over you?
Definitely. And again, I'll say, you know, I've been really lucky with the men and women in my life that have helped kind of shape this perspective before I became a husband and, you know, graduated college and moved into adulthood. But yeah, I think just viewing jobs and careers not only through a lens of, all right, how much am I going to get paid and what kind of car can that get me and what kind of house can that get me, but viewing it through like, you know, maybe I sacrifice whatever the salary is if it's going to mean that I can spend more time with my wife and with my family, and it means that I'm not going to be working 12 hours a day, and just keeping that in mind. Because I think what Graham said, and I've heard it before, about, you know, the only people that are going to remember how much you've worked are your family. I think keeping that in mind kind of from the start has shaped a lot of the decisions that I've made out of college as far as careers, and just trying to keep, you know, my eye on a priority, which is it doesn't matter what job I have or how much money I'm making, if it means I'm sacrificing time with my wife or my family or just my own happiness, you know, which I think I'm guilty of a lot, and kind of falling into that hustle and bustle that a lot of folks do fall into.
I appreciate it so much. And one of the things I appreciate, you're both in different stages of your life, closer in age than I am to either of you, but in different stages. And I just am sitting here thinking you're both so much wiser than I was at the age you are now. And I certainly appreciate that and want to encourage you along the path that you are taking. For our Ed leaders, one of the things that educational leaders, principals, superintendents, teachers in classrooms tend to do is just work crazy long hours. And we certainly have to do a better job of defining what work is and what success at work is. And it's not who was the last car in the parking lot, and it's not who got there earliest, and it's not who works the most number of ball games. It's about the difference we make, and being able to make a difference is about taking care of ourselves first so that we can serve others. Today, I had the opportunity to be in a conference with some very wise superintendents. Our current state superintendent of the year, his name is Dr. Marvin Conley, serves as a superintendent in Fayetteville in Cumberland County. And he shared with us as he was accepting this award, State Superintendent of the Year, something you've probably heard before, which is on our tombstone, there's two dates, our birth date and the date that we pass away. Between those two dates is a dash. And within that dash is what happened between those two dates. And our work life is such a minor piece of that. But the important stuff in that dash is how we've lived our life, the love we've shared with others, with our families, the difference we've made with those who love us. This book, Tuesdays with Maury, is absolutely fabulous. And so as we draw our conversation to an end, Graham, I wonder if you could just kind of in a general way share the reason that someone might want to pick up this book that maybe they've never heard of, Tuesdays with Maury. What would be your 30-second advertisement or your 30-second encouragement to pick up this book? To spend some time with Tuesdays with Maury.
Yeah, I think, first of all, just to be very blunt, it's not a very difficult read. It's very easy to get into, to kind of relate to a lot of the conversations and themes that are going on. But it gets deep very, very quickly. And like Eli said, you can read this in a day. But there's just so much to chew on and so much to just think about, apply to life, revisit, keep it on a coffee table, read a few pages a month. I just think it's so accessible. It's a fun read. It's a fun one to pass around, and you can have conversations like this.
Absolutely. Elijah, what would you share with our listeners in terms of Tuesdays with Maury? Any kind of takeaways that you have?
I would share, especially specific to your audience, as someone that grew up with an ed leader as a dad, you're going to get something out of this book. And I do think it's important to just kind of remind yourself of the simple things. And, you know, like you're saying, nobody's going to notice, or it doesn't matter who the first car in the parking lot is and the last one out, or who's worked the most games. But, you know, as someone who's grown up in a family of ed leaders, I know the hours that you guys put in, and I know it's a grind, and you guys are changing lives, and that's so important. But I do think, you know, like we've alluded to, it's really important to also take care of yourself and those around you. And I think this is it's a great tool just to kind of remind yourself of what's important.
It truly is, Elijah. And I appreciate you mentioning that. That's a feeling that I have as I get closer to the twilight of my career. I certainly spend a lot of time reflecting on the time that I may not have been able to be with you and your siblings because of the work I was doing. And we had a great conversation about that on the Ed Leader podcast. That was a part of our conversation. And I certainly appreciate that. And so phenomenal takeaways, great reflection from both of you. I knew this would be an amazing conversation. And I know that it's a conversation I'm going to be listening to many times myself because it was so rich and so deep and so many takeaways. Graham Davis, I want to say again to you, as I've said many times and will continue to say, thank you for making a difference in many lives, particularly the difference of in the lives of my sons. You, for them, have been Maury and continue to be Maury. And I just want to say thank you, and thank you for spending time with us on the Ed Leader podcast.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I love you both very much.
And love to you, my friend. Elijah, I love you too, buddy. I certainly appreciate you sharing with us. I'm incredibly proud of you. Thank you for spending time with us this evening.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hopefully it doesn't take another 2 years to get on an episode, but I love you guys both. And I look forward to my next appearance.
There you go. We haven't had a three-time guest. Maybe you'll be the first one. Well, guys, thank you again for all of our listeners. I would certainly encourage you to find a copy of Tuesdays with Maury. It's probably going to be a bit tattered if it's been owned by anybody, because it's a book you'll pick up and keep picking up. Guys, thank you.
I hope that you enjoyed our time together with Maury and Mitch, with Graham and Elijah, and with this great book, Tuesdays with Maury. The professor said, as long as we love each other and remember the feeling of love we had, we can die without ever really going away. All the love you created is still there. All the memories are still there. You live on in the hearts of everyone you have touched and nurtured while you were here. As Ed Leaders, you will live on in the hearts of everyone you have touched and nurtured while you are here. I hope that you enjoyed our time today. Thank you for spending time with me today, and thank you for all that you do for every student, every teacher, and every staff member. You are making a difference. If no one else has told you, I want you to know that I believe in you. Good day.
Thank you for listening to the Ed Leader Podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast and consider leaving a review with 5 stars on Apple Podcasts so that we may continue to grow the Ed Leader community. We hope that you have enjoyed your time with Dr. Jackson. Until next time.